And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Big Mac truck, right in this little garage. Make it cream, make me scream. I don't panic, make the scene. I don't cook, I don't clean. But let me tell you, I got this ring.
Gobble me, swallow me, drip down inside of me. Quick, yeah. Jump out for you, let it get inside of me. I tell them where to put it, never tell them where I'm about to be. I'll run down.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, December 23rd, and this is the Drop Podcast. I'm J.D. Skeets. Alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everybody.
You're looking good in the old ugly Christmas sweater.
Thank you. I'll be wearing this for a week. This Raptor sweater feels so nice.
I like it. Pops on camera here, too. Joining us live from Toronto, it is the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends, eh?
Just really sticking with that A, aren't you?
I have to, man. I'm out and about in Canada. I've got to, lean into the accent.
Oh, man.
And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
How's it going, eh?
There he is.
I'm actually wearing Canada stuff. And I, too, will be going to Canada tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great.
I'll meet you there, Lee.
You want to stay at my place?
No, thank you.
Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Please take a second to subscribe if you haven't, to like the video, comment away, share the show. That helps us out. Go grab your No Dunks merch, like this one, over at nodunks.com. I think you can still buy the Trey Kirby ho-ho-ho dunks.
I think so, yeah.
This is an underrated item in the No Dunks store, if we're being honest.
100%.
Especially around the holiday season, so go to nodunks.com for that. Better yet, why not score the perfect last-minute gift by getting someone that you love, only someone that you love, a subscription to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. I think there's like a 50% off deal here at the end of the year, a Christmas deal.
$24 for 12 months, I've heard, for the last week there after Christmas.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. So go grab that if you haven't. Keep sending in your questions, NBA questions, non-NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can email them in. You can tweet them in at nodunksinc. We'll be hitting the beach at some point, I bet, next week. Yes, that's right. It's our final show of the week this week. No show on Friday. That's why we're doing the drop today. But next week, show on Monday and show on Thursday. So the 27th and the 30th, if I have that right.
Correct.
JD, you're off, like you just said. You'll be in Canada kicking it with Lee.
Not with Lee. No offense, Lee. But no. I think Lee and I will be in opposite ends of the country. Is that right?
Where are you going, Lee?
Yeah, we're heading to Calgary today. And if you want to really see me suffer, check out the weather forecast for the next 6 days in Calgary. It does not get higher or lower. I'm not sure which way you go on this one, but it's minus 23 like every single day while we're out there. And that's before you factor into the wind chill. So it's going to be nice and fresh and crisp out there.
Minus 23 degrees Celsius.
That's right, Celsius. Okay. Yeah. So
let's call it minus 30 with the wind chill, like you said.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to really test out. My boys, they complain there's not enough snow in Atlanta. I said, you want some snow? Oh, you'll get some snow and some cold and some frigid air out here, boys. So hopefully they enjoy it.
Okay. Is this like the weird equivalent of like making your teenage kids smoke a pack of cigarettes? You want a cigarette? Here, smoke them all. And we'll see if you like it. All right, well,
exactly.
Have fun in Calgary there, Lili. This is our final show of the week. So I thought, why not, pound some eggnog, throw a log on the fire. Throw a fire like I'm a Super Mario brother. Just got the flower power. And we could ask some NBA Christmas questions here. Okay, so that's what we're doing. These are fun questions for everybody in the stream team, the pod squad, the Discord horde to chime in as well. You're going to get us started here, Tass. I want to know who's on your NBA naughty and nice list, but let's start with the naughty list. All right, who's Santa got at the top of that list?
LeBron James, and I'm not just gaslighting because it's a big name. LeBron has been naughty. If you make someone bleed, you are clearly naughty.
Mm.
And he banged Isaiah Stewart right in the face with that reverse karate chop. No matter what you call it, it was, he turned, and if you're watching on YouTube, at the top of your screen here on the right, he turned with a fist, hit Isaiah Stewart. Now, he did apologize immediately, but Isaiah Stewart was obviously extremely mad because LeBron hit him as hard as he possibly could. And that wasn't just LeBron's first altercation this year. It was definitely the most blatant. Received a suspension for it, a warranted one-game suspension for it. But if you remember, it seems like eons ago, he put his hands on Joel Embiid at the beginning of this season when Embiid went up for a dunk. Now, it doesn't seem as bad, but Embiid went down pretty hard on his back and was writhing around for a little bit. Luckily, he was healthy and continued to play. But LeBron definitely put his hands on him. He lost balance there. Anyways, that one clearly not as bad. So a couple naughties right there. And a third naughty this week. We saw it. He may have broke some bylaws when he came into the arena with a cigar in his hand. Was it lit? Who the heck knows?
We don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he would break the laws like that. But he came in, with a cigar in hand. And I wish he was naughtier in another instance. He was far too nice. You remember how Enes Kanter Freedom has been on LeBron about being a Nike spokesman.
Who's, right.
And so LeBron met Enes Kanter in the back hallway of an arena. Apparently, Enes Kanter said nothing to him. I wish LeBron was a little naughtier to him in that instance. Tell Enes Kanter, they're playing you. They're using you for your agenda. Even though Enes Kanter's actual reason deep down, his motive might be right. I mean, he's getting played all over the place. So anyways, I wish LeBron was a little bit meaner in that instance. But LeBron, this is the meanest LeBron we've ever seen. It's not that mean, frankly. But yeah, he definitely meant to whack Isaiah Stewart as hard as he possibly could. He did that grunt face, if you look real close, like you put your lips together and you try and do something real strong. So he did that to Isaiah Stewart. Did he mean to get him right in the mouth? Or I'm sorry, right in the mouth, right in the eye. Maybe he meant the mouth because Isaiah Stewart definitely dipped a little bit lower. But yeah, LeBron's the naughty one on my naughty list. Okay. Sorry, LeBron.
No, that's all right.
He doesn't usually warrant it because he does a lot of other good things off the court. But I don't know. Santa might be thinking, not this year, my friend.
Not getting anything in the old stocking, is he? What about you, Lee? Who's on your NBA naughty list?
Yeah, well, I'm going in a slightly different direction about a performance on the court. And it's tough to look at a guy who's averaging 20 and 10, basically, if you round up, and 5 assists and think that he's having a bad season or he's being a naughty player. But Julius Randle, I mean, he's not having a bad season. It's just last season the bar was raised so high by him, he just hasn't been able to get back to that level at all this season. It's almost like he's in some sort of breakout season sophomore slump, because last season he was an all-star, he was most improved player, he was all-NBA second team, but he's not really anywhere near any of those accolades this season. Obviously, he can't win. Well, he could technically win most improved, but he won't win that.
Right.
But will he even be an all-star this year? I would say it's probably unlikely from what we've seen so far, because he just hasn't been able to impact games like he did last season. And, you know, combine that with the fact that the Knicks have struggled to match last season's efforts. Right now, they're 14 and 17. They've really struggled at home. Last season, the Knicks had the fourth best defense. They've dropped off there. They're 23rd so far at this point of the season right now. It's not all Randle's fault, of course. You know, you don't just want to throw him under the bus. But I think what we have found out this season, and this really started in the playoffs, I think, last season against the Atlanta Hawks, I just don't think he's a number one guy. I think Julius Randle, clearly, to me, is more suited as a number two option. You know, the Scottie Pippen, if you like, which is, again, certainly not an insult. Scottie was the greatest number two of all time, probably. And I think that's just where Julius is probably better. He needs that other guy who can go out there and take, you know, more of the sort of responsibility. Julius just hasn't been able to handle those expectations like we saw from him, you know, this time last season when he burst out of the gates and he was great for the Knicks and they were winning games and he was looking pretty dominant. This season, again, 20 and 10. I mean, anyone would love a 20 and 10 average, but it just doesn't have anywhere near the same impact it had last season. He sort of struggled to hit those big shots and carry the team in moments where they really have needed him. So there's a lot of things going wrong there in New York. They're out now. They lose Derrick Rose here for 8 weeks with ankle surgery, which is not good for them. Kemba Walker clearly hasn't panned out. He's only playing right now because they're so desperate for players. And even Tom Thibodeau, you know, this is something we talked about sort of when the Knicks hired him. He tends to have an impact on teams in that first season, a really strong impact, and then it starts to sort of lessen the impact in the seasons following that. And I think we're also seeing a little bit of that. So, you know, the Knicks were a great story last year. They made the playoffs. They started off this season with a big bing-bong double overtime victory against the Celtics. But unfortunately, that was pretty much their high point of the season. It's kind of been downhill ever since then. And I think a lot of it has been the expectations and hope that Randall would replicate what he did last season or even get better, and that just hasn't been the case.
Yeah, it's got some Pascal Siakam vibes from making the All-NBA team and then coming back to earth a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Julius Randle has not been the same. He was phenomenal last year. But yeah, the numbers are still there, but it's not the same shot-making impact that he had last year.
At the top of my NBA naughty list is basically, really, 30 names. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to lump them into one. NBA GMs. Mm. And here's why.
Why?
They're not making trades. They're not giving the content that we need. Mm-hmm. Hook it into our veins. Come on. Yeah, they're not making deals here. And you look at some teams. I mean, not all 30 teams should be making a deal. But the Blazers and Pacers, we've talked about them ad nauseum. I mean, they're both 13 and 19. They need to shake it up. You know, is that moving a McCollum or Nurkic if you're the Blazers? Is it moving a Sabonis or a Turner or a LeVert if you're the Pacers? Like, okay, we've gone over and over and over it. They have to. But then, you said the Knicks, Lee. That's a sub-500 team here 30 games in. The Hawks are also one of those teams. Could they use a little shakeup around the fringes, at least? A little injection of life into that roster. The Hornets desperately need a big. We've talked about that. They're about a 500 team. It feels like every team's almost a 500 team outside of, like, six teams in the league. The Mavs, another 500-type squad. They could use a shakeup. So come on, GMs. And maybe Daryl Morey is the culprit of all of this because he's sitting on Ben Simmons there, and he's waiting. He wants a Lillard. He wants a Beal. He wants something sexy. I don't think it's going to be that great. So let's just get it going here. So I'm picking NBA GMs as my at the top of my naughty list.
I hear what
but
you're saying.
It's for selfish reasons.
Yeah, basically. Sorry. Yeah. It's for us. Yeah. You know, it's selfish for you, but it's also, you know, I would like that as well, obviously. JD right. would like that as well. Lee would like that. So Lee would love to jump on an emergency podcast from Calgary.
Oh,
that would
wow.
just be an excuse for him to come inside and get a little bit warm. But Daryl Morey, I like the fact that he's waiting because Joel Embiid's peak is right now. I like the fact that Daryl Morey isn't just going after a good player. I think he should wait for a great player because if they go and get somebody on the periphery, you know, somebody who's decent. There was the Jeremy Grant name being thrown out there, who obviously would help. But I think you got to go for it in these Embiid years. Let's say they go get a Jeremy Grant, and let's say they drop out in the second round even. I mean, it's just, I wouldn't call it a wasted season, but it's another season in Joel Embiid's brain that, I guess it ain't going to work in Philadelphia. And I'm not saying he's leaving, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just another one of those bad seasons. But I'm with you. Make a trade. It's December 23rd. I've been up since December 15th when 84% of the league was eligible to be traded. I've been up for 8 straight days. Wow. I thought a trade was going to happen at midnight, December 15th. Nah, I wasn't fooled. It's hard to make a trade. It is hard to make a trade. And I'm glad Morey's not pushing it. But yeah, you'd think Charlotte has to happen pretty soon. Somebody.
I went through like 7 or 8 teams there, Lee. I'm sure you agreed with a lot of the squads that there are moves to be made. Either like really big switch ups, like in case of the or in instance of the Blazers or the Pacers, or other around the fringe type moves with a lot of them, again, these like 500 teams. Like we played enough of the season to sort of know where a lot of these squads lie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And this was one of the things that Daryl Morey kind of it was implied that he was gonna wait for, you know, let's see how the first quarter or first third of the season goes. And then we can start to see which teams are looking a little more desperate than others. And that's kind of now, I think what he's clearly sent the message to the Ben Simmons camp is we're not bowing down to sort of pressure from him or his agent or his people to just get him out of there as soon as possible. Daryl Morey is going to play the long game here, and he's going to wait until he gets exactly what he wants in return. And or he's just going to make Ben Simmons, you know, sit out in his own sort of on his side there. And really, he just has to wait. And that's the real problem here for this trade, because it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it happens and exactly who gets traded. But Daryl Morey is just saying, I have the power right now. I have the leverage. And I think this is one of those things, actually, you know, that the NBA and I think Adam Silver and some of the other GMs probably like the fact that player power hasn't sort of come in and overruled that situation. Because, you know, we saw when Anthony Davis basically said to the Pelicans, I want out of here and I want to go to the Lakers. And eventually it happened. It didn't quite happen when they wanted it to, him and his team there. But Ben Simmons has said the same thing. I want to get out of here. I want to go to the Lakers or the Warriors. And Daryl Morey's like, sorry, that's just not happening. You're just going to have to wait until the right trade materializes that helps the Philadelphia 76ers right now. And so in that sense, you know, Daryl Morey is just sort of saying, I don't have to trade you right now because I don't want to until I get that deal that I think really is the right one for us.
Mm. Is your power flickering over there? Why were your lights off and then suddenly back on again?
Great question. One of those one of those little kinks that we're working out. A good one to do it on December 23 when a few people are distracted. Maybe we don't have the biggest audience we were hoping for, so yeah, you can sort of work these things out.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here.
I thought you were going to go to sleep for a second. You're like, okay, that's enough. I've talked for 15 minutes. Yeah, night, guys.
Yeah. You know, when it's cold and cozy, it does certainly feel like you want to hop under the covers a little bit more often in bed here, you know? So, I think I'm back now. I think I'm in good spirits.
You're
here,
good.
So we're great.
You're looking great. Let's get to Santa's NBA nice list then. All right, let's switch it up. Who do you have, Tess?
Stephen Curry. And not for on the floor. Yeah. Okay, he's got the most threes in NBA history. I get it. He did that. Great. But to me, why he's nice is that he is sharing his power. He has signed a landmark agreement with UConn's AZ Fudd as his first basketball player that he's mentoring. Now, she is a great baller herself, but now what he's doing for her is opening all the doors that he has opened, and she can just walk right in. Like, every business partner she gets to talk to, every opportunity that Steph Curry has, every business venture that he's entered, she gets to be a part of. It's a landmark agreement where he is the mentor. This name, image, and license barrier that has been dropped by college basketball is now opened up these sort of opportunities where Steph is now mentoring AZ Fudd, but she's just the first. And he is obviously always given back to women's basketball, to people of color. And so in this instance, yeah, every door that he's opened, she can come right in and be a part of that.
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, it's a great article on The Athletic about it. And not only is she a part of the business ventures and the business side of things, but she's got access to everything, you know, basketball worthy as well. Like, she was at a game when they played the Nets. She was there pregame. She was there in the locker room. She was maybe not the locker room, but she was there in the back hallway pre and postgame, and she got to hang out with Steph during his pregame warm-up. And Steph actually had a bad pregame warm-up, and AZ Fudd said, how do you bounce back after that? And Steph actually said, this was interesting, he said, I like when that happens because it kind of makes me recalibrate, refocus when things aren't going well in pregame warm-up. So that was interesting. So she's got access to that side. She's got access to every venture that Aisha Curry actually has as well. So everything that Steph has that he's had the opportunity to get into business-wise, she's there as well. So it's a name, image, license agreement that because that's changed. And so I think the whole mentorship will change as well from NBA players. So this is the first of that type of agreement for me. He walks into, I don't know who he's, what was the oxygen company?
The oxygen water?
O4 or something, oxygen water, oxygen with an I. Anyways, she walks in and says, hey, what's up with your water? But she can walk into that boardroom and have that conversation because Steph. So everywhere Steph goes, AZ goes. So that's a
pretty
cool deal.
But this is a deal between her and then Curry's
Steph.
Business. And
yeah,
Steph.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Steph's business. It's called SC30 Inc.,
right.
that brand. And yes, it's a landmark agreement where he is her mentor. And to obviously to lift up women's basketball, to lift up women, to lift up people of color. But yeah, she's great in and of herself. She was at Curry's camp in 2018, only one of two women, and she won the three-point contest.
Oh, that's cool.
Lots of NBA players there too. Jalen Green, Anthony Edwards, Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton were there, and she won the three-point contest. She's a baller.
Look at Tassie with these unique answers here to the NBA.
It's great. It's great. Steph, great. Yeah, he hits shots. Great. But what he's doing off the court, more important.
All right. Well, Lee, I got a feeling you're going to take it back to the court here. This guy does, though he loves the three-point shot, so I'm sure he loved that story. That was really cool. I didn't know that. Who do you have, Lee, on your NBA nice list?
Well, I'm back here in Toronto, so I'm going with a Toronto favorite, even though he's a Bull right now. And I believe DeMar DeRozan is honestly having his best individual season ever, really. I mean, in terms of numbers, he's had other seasons where he scored slightly more. He's even shot slightly better a couple of years ago there in San Antonio. But to me, there is just no doubt this is the most dominant he has ever looked at. And, you know, he's got the 27 points on 50% shooting, only 5 rebounds and 4 assists. Fine. He's never been a big rebound guy. He's never been a big assist guy. But when it's winning time in the fourth quarter, that's where he's just been so good, leading the league in scoring average at 8 points per game, shooting 54% and 91%. Again, this is all in the fourth quarter. And just think about how many times we've seen a Bulls game, and in that fourth quarter, DeRozan has clearly been the best player on the court. He's done it against the Lakers, the Nets, the Knicks, the Raptors, the list goes on and on. And also in those games, I mean, particularly against the Nets, he was going at Kevin Durant, you know, like it's not like he's just posting up against some, you know, guy who's just been called up in the coronavirus protocols right now. He's doing it against legit defense, against legit competition. And really, what an offseason signing that has been for the Bulls, because, you know, when they signed him 3 years, or I think it was around $85 to $90 million there, you know, it's like, is this guy maybe just at the end of his career? You're really overpaying for him. Honestly, right now, that looks like the best offseason signing, and it looks like a bargain as well. And the fact that he's gone into a team that already had a high-scoring guard slash forward there in Zach LaVine, and Zach hasn't in any way had his game interrupted, or there's been no clashing between those two guys about who's getting the last shots. Mm-hmm. It's clearly DeRozan's team in the fourth quarter, and it really is paying off the Bulls. They look fantastic. Right now, I have DeRozan. He's an absolute lock for the All-Star game. In fact, I have him down as a front court starter. I think that's still the case whenever those teams get announced. Look, he's not going to win MVP. We're not going to get too crazy here. Sure, it's Christmas. But he has been as high as number five on Skeetsy's old favorite there, the Basketball Reference MVP tracker. He's not, look, he's not going to win it, but he's certainly having such an incredible season. And I think it reflects on just the way that the Bulls have been this season. They've been a team that coming in, you know, we weren't sure if they were going to be a significantly improved team. I think right now, if they fall anywhere shorter than fourth in the Eastern Conference, that'll be a bit of a letdown. I think they've been playing so well. Their minimum goal right now should be home court advantage in the first round. I think they're going to get there. So, you know, DeRozan's been fantastic. He's been great to watch. And again, really stepping up. He had the 19 points in the fourth quarter against the Lakers just the other day in a close game. And that really just showed how dominant he's been and how hard he has been to defend. So lots of love here for DeMar. He's, former Raptor, now a Bull. So, you know, he's going to be loved by all the No Dunks and Starters crew and fans.
Oh, you see Trey here in the stream team actually saying that the entire Bulls team, Lee, could be on the NBA nice list with the season they've had.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think it goes back even to the front office there. Karnisha for signing Alex Caruso, you know, getting DeMar DeRozan, of course, Lonzo Ball as well. They cost them a second round pick or something like that in 5 years' time to get Lonzo Ball. But pretty much everything that they have done in the front office has paid off for them. And yeah. Chicago's playing right now. You know, I mean, there's still maybe a little bit of a depth issue as far as their big man. You know, that Vucci's had his moments, but at other times he hasn't looked as good and you know, in certain situations. But overall, I think the Chicago Bulls, where we sit today, are at worst the third best team in the Eastern Conference.
I got a few people on my nice list in the NBA. I want to start with Joe Johnson, the Armadillo Cowboy.
Wow.
Yeah, ISO Joe. You saw this last night, Lili. I don't know if you're watching this game. Boston got the victory over the Cavs, 10-point victory. The crowd was chanting, "We want Joe." This guy at 40 years old, you know, the Big Three MVP, hasn't been in the league in a couple years. What is he, a 7-time All-Star, a lot of that coming with the Hawks. But he gets in, and he nails the bucket from around the free throw line. Place goes insane. This was a feel-good moment in a very weird season where there hasn't been a lot to you know, actually cheer on with people leaving the lineups left and right here, but this was pretty wild to us.
Yeah, and usually when an older guy comes back, he'll come in, clank a couple.
Right.
But Joe, pure. Ugh. Absolutely pure. And I saw this tweet from Tim Reynolds, and I couldn't believe it. Only two guys have hit baskets with the same team when they were 20 years old and 40 years old.
Right.
I couldn't believe there's only two guys.
And so
Joe is one of them because he was drafted by the Boston Celtics 20 years ago in 2001. Then he comes back in 2021. The other one we just talked about yesterday. He's retired, but he was on our show yesterday. He made a quick appearance because he was in the broadcast booth.
Lee, do you know?
or was it 2 days ago? He was in the broadcast booth. He was on the call.
Oh, Dirk.
Dirk, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Only Dirk and Joe Johnson have hit baskets with the same team.
I was automatically thinking of someone who you know, maybe played one season with a team back. and then
that was a little, threw you for a loop there. But Joe looking good.
Yeah. He honestly looks in great shape for a 40-year-old, Lele. He's been doing some bar three, I think.
Oh, yeah. It is hilarious because Doc Rivers had a quote the other day where he's been getting calls from, you know, random dudes who have been out of the league for a few years, and Doc's like, there's no way you can still play in the NBA. But Joe Johnson has kept himself in great shape, been playing really well in the three-on-three there, and then just came out there and got a bucket wearing number 55 as well, which was pretty cool to see. So, that's the silver lining to this, all these players missing out right now is that, you know, there's a couple of old guys. Lance Stephenson was back for the Atlanta Hawks.
So, I saw him in person down at the Fortress last night. He did not look as good as Iso Joe, I will say.
I mean, Lance is probably only 33 or 34, struggling. Isn't he? I mean, So Joe Johnson, 40-year-old, just going out there, getting a bucket. Great to see.
Joe Johnson set a new record for time between games with the same team, too. 19 years and 308 days. Because, as you said, Tass, he was drafted by the Celtics, 10th overall in 2001, and then he was traded that season as a rook, but then comes back last night after signing with the squad and hits the bucket. You want to play some trivia, Lee?
Yes.
Okay, because this is a great one by way of ESPN. So again, longest span between appearances for the same team. Joe Johnson has the record now. Who did he just eclipse? And I'm going to give you a hint. That's going to be a big giveaway. One of our colleagues at The Athletic knows this man very well, I would say. Like, we would call him dad almost.
Would call him dad.
Bill Winnington?
No.
As in, he is his son?
I believe so, yeah.
I believe so. Somebody at The Athletic is the son of of the player.
James Edwards!
Yeah, that's right. I guess for the Lakers, he had a big 14-year gap, James Edwards did. Yeah. A little strange. Okay. Then a lot of them have like 13 years or 12 years. We had this guy on the show, on the Starters program. He did a famous thing using the table.
Bernard King?
Bernard King!
He knows how to spin.
He knows how to spin. He was showing us on the table
Is how you spin in the post.
So that's with the Nets there, Lele. This one. We never had this man on the Starters, though. You know, we considered him, he was obviously a colleague. I dare say a good friend. We hung out at some Christmas parties. He's obviously an unbelievable... Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Kevin Garnett?
No, not Kevin Garnett. I can't remember if he actually got in the Hall of Fame, or maybe he hasn't yet, and that's the big controversy. Yeah, I think
it's... C-Web?
C-Web!
He's in.
He's in? He got in. Yeah, he got in. Okay, I couldn't remember. Weber with the Warriors, right? Okay.
Yeah, he went back there, yeah.
A Chicago Bull here, but Lee, you know him as a New York Knick. That's who everybody knows him as.
Jamal Crawford?
No. That's a good guess. He played with Jordan, and then he played against Jordan. That's your big hint. And then he's buddies with Jordan still.
Charles
Oakley!
Oh, yeah.
All right, two more. This is a classic Raptors name, Tass.
I think of Charles Oakley as a Raptor.
Well, anyway. Okay, sure.
Give me a classic Raptors name.
So the team, again, longest span between appearances. The team was the Spurs, but you don't ever really think of this guy as a Spurs player, I don't think. You think of him as a Raptor?
Alvin Robertson?
No, that's a good guess.
Willie Anderson?
No, he's a big guy. He's got a memorable name. There's been never another this guy in the league.
Tony Massenberg?
What a call. What a call. And great final name. One, you keep talking about this guy. He's current player. He plays for this team that he's had the long span between. He's obviously played on a bunch of teams. But you talk about him a lot, I feel like.
It's not the Mecca Okafor.
We got a current player here. But Tass talks about him. He's like, you make a lot of comparisons to him because this guy played like an instrumental role on a championship team. You just said it the other day, this guy's name. Like maybe yesterday.
Not Gary Neal.
No, not Gary Neal. Better than Gary Neal. I mean, this guy's
not Harry Neal.
Not a Hall of Fame player, but
what team is it with?
Well, Okay, he plays for the Lakers. I'm giving it away now.
Oh, Trevor Ariza. I love making that comparison.
You do,
just that
right?
Fifth guy on a championship team, so ready to do the
dirty
work. There
you go. What a weird trivia question that was. But we got there. That's a fascinating little fact to know, though. So, like, the point is, Joe Johnson destroyed the previous record. I said it was like 14 years something, James Edwards. 19 years, nearly 20 years for Joe Johnson. That is wild. So that was a feel-good moment. My other, selection here for the NBA Nice List, it's the rookie class.
It's a good one.
Okay, because, you know, and look, we're not going to go through every single guy here again. We've talked a lot about Mobley, a lot about Scottie Barnes, a lot about Cade Cunningham. But then it really is nice. I mean, Giddey does look special. Josh Giddey looks very special at times, too. He is a talent.
You said Giddey and Josh Giddey look very special.
I meant Kuminga for that second one.
Okay.
I mean, he looks like he could be like a diamond in the rough. Duarte, he's going to play a long time in this league.
You're the biggest Chris Duarte fan.
I do like Chris Duarte. That guy's going to be around for a long time.
That's fair.
Jalen Green, I mean, he's out right now. He's got the hamstring injury. He did have a 30-point game. He hit 8 threes in like one of his games. He had like another 24-point game. So there's flashes there.
I believe.
Yeah, I still believe. You're not giving up on him. Shengun.
He's great.
He shows flashes of brilliance. I mean, these are Davion Mitchell screams second team all defense for a couple times. You know, he's got that. And then Frank Wagner. Oh, saw him with my own eyes last night.
You calling him Frank Wagner?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I wrote it down like that.
That's a classic.
You got auto-corrected from Franz.
I wrote it down like that. I think I did get auto-corrected. But 25 points last night.
He is, yes.
He's way better than I thought, too, the more I watch of him.
Like, he's got footwork.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so much of the fun is just class. Saying his first name is Franz.
Yeah, I mean. Frank. I'm calling him Frank now.
you know who's also Giddey? By Josh Giddey's play, his coach, Mark Digno. Somebody mentioned here in the stream team, we passed the naughty list, but Mark Digno's got to be on the naughty list because of that crew neck sweater that he wore.
Okay,
he's got to be on there. What are you doing with that crew neck sweater, sir? We can get away from the suits, but as we said, you need some sort of collar. You need a polo. Or you need a quarter zip that's even acceptable. But this is what we're all wearing.
Like
I'm wearing
a collar, a button, or a zip.
Anything. I'm wearing the same thing that Mark Digno wore,
yeah,
essentially. But mine's a little bit flashier. I mean, he would have. Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
Moving on.
All right. One more question here in the holiday spirit of things. What is on your NBA Christmas wish list, Tess?
It's got to be Zion Williamson. Let's get back to the floor. Zion Williamson has to get back playing basketball. Now, I will say, one good sign is that Stan Van Gundy, his former head coach, his head coach of just one season, and even though Stan Van was fired, he has come out and been in Zion's corner, and he said to multiple people on Twitter, just going after the Twitterati that are coming after him, he said, you and all the other people commenting on here, you've got no idea what he weighs or what his body fat is, and none of the injuries he has had anything to do with conditioning. I think that's important. You know, Stan Van tells it like it is. I don't think he's trying to sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. He's clearly saying none of the injuries have had anything to do with conditioning. Now, everybody's saying he's got to get in shape. Stan Van adds, of course he needs to get in great shape. Everybody does. So I like the fact that Stan Van has said that. He went on to say, the Joel Embiid example, at the beginning of his career, Embiid played 31 games through his first three seasons in the league because he missed his first two. Mm-hmm. Then he came back and played 31 seasons. And Zion has already played three times that. Stan Van's a numbers man. So he said, yeah, that's a good example that Zion can try and reach for to try and be Joel Embiid and try and be that guy. Now, we've talked at nauseam.
But the issue, of course, is he Greg Oden or is he Joel Embiid?
Right. Yes. That's
when it comes
fair.
To health. Yeah.
Well, I went down a rabbit hole yesterday and I started watching William Perry. We're going back in the NFL. Some refrigerator highlights. I mean, that man can move.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Sure. He's a very big man. So there's
he plays a different sport.
He does, but he's quite agile. Yeah. He can move left to right, and hopefully Zion Williamson can emulate the fridge. No, let's hope he's more like. Well, he's nowhere like Joel Embiid because he moves so much more explosively.
Yeah,
and he's just a different different guy. You can get into the whole science of it all, the whole physics of it all. Can this man play this sport being that big? But the fact is, yeah, maybe physically he just can't. Maybe biologically he just can't. Mm-hmm. But Stan Van coming out and being in his corner for a guy, again, who was fired by the Pelicans after just one season, could have a bone to pick, but he's absolutely saying none of those injuries had anything to do with conditioning. And so that's a good sign for Zion, right, obviously, going forward here. And I just want to see him back because it's easy to forget. All the talk is about injuries, so it's easy to forget that he was at 27 points per game and 60% from the floor. 27 in year two when he didn't even have a full year one. So, yeah, my Christmas wish list is to see a very, very, very unique player. The only player that I can connect him to plays another sport. William the right. Refrigerator Perry.
He's like a, he's like a souped up Barkley.
He's
like a taller, bigger Barkley.
He's just large.
Barkley came
yeah,
to the league.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair, but he's so explosive.
Okay, so Zion coming back.
Get back.
All right, that's a great, great gift to have, I guess, on your Christmas wish list. What about you, Lee?
Well, look, if you go to the Basketball Reference Minnesota Timberwolves Franchise Index, it's pretty grim reading. There's only one playoff appearance since 2004, and they only won one game there against the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. So I hope the Minnesota Timberwolves can get back to the playoffs. That's what I want to see. They're right now 15 and 16. They've had some good moments this season. They've had some or pretty bad moments as well. They're ninth right now. They're in the play-in tournament as we sit here today, but I would love to see it if the Timberwolves could put everything together and just make it into the playoffs again and see what happens. Because honestly, for a couple of reasons, I want to just see Carl Anthony Towns, see how much he's changed since the last playoff appearance. And I also honestly want to see Anthony Edwards, not just on the court in the playoffs, I want to see his off-court scrums and press conferences and things like that. Because Anthony Edwards talks. He is not afraid to sort of call someone out, talk the talk, and then go out there and walk the fort walk. He's also got the flip phone. I want to sort of see all those other little things he brings to the whole playoff picture. So, you know, they're in a funny position right now, the Wolves, because this is their squad. I think it's Towns, Russell, and Edwards. And then they've got a few other players on the periphery there who can make a contribution. But if those three guys together can just finally get Minnesota into some point where they're like, okay, they're in the playoffs now. Let's just see what happens. They're young. They're healthy. They're active. Maybe things can improve, because it has been such a long time since the Minnesota Timberwolves have been even remotely close to sort of contending. And right. I just want to see it change. I would like, it's a bit like the Sacramento Kings. You know, sure, we've made a few jokes over the years on them, but don't you just want to be like, oh, that fan base just deserves a team
yeah.
in the playoffs? And you know, like I say, right now the Timberwolves have had some good moments. Edwards is a legit star. There's no doubt about it. He's not going to make the All-Star team this year, I don't think, but I certainly think it's on the horizon for him. And he's also just a great guy off the court. So that's where I'm hoping that the Timberwolves can take this 15 and 16 record, get a little bit over 500, maybe 45 wins, and then see what happens come playoff time, because it'd be good to see them just back in there competing and in the postseason for what feels like something that just never really happens in Minnesota.
That's a good one. I like that. If TK's still watching, I got one on my Christmas wish list. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander becomes an all-star in 2022. There's still hope. I still believe, for those that are new to the show, I don't know, what, two or three seasons ago, we made a weird bet. Would SGA blossom into an all-star? Trey's like, no, not that quickly. I said, no, I believe. And he had a monster game last night. So this is great timing here for me making this pick. 27 points, 11 boards, 12 assists. So his second career triple-double in a win over the Nuggets, where Coach Malone, I don't know if you saw that, said, get out of here, starters. That includes you, reigning MVP Jokic. You're not coming back. I don't like your energy. And they didn't return, and OKC got the win. That's a whole other thing, though, we could talk about on a different day. But in his past 10 games, SGA averaging 25 points, 6 assists. He had the game winner that we've already talked about. He had the game winner before that that was somehow trumped by Devontae Graham and his 61-foot bomb. So he's hitting these clutch shots. He had a big one against the Lakers early in the season. I saw StatMuse tweeting, OKC, when SGA plays, 53 win percentage. Solid,
very solid.
Above 500. They'd be right in the mix in the Western Conference. When he's out, 16.7% win percentage. So not very good there. SGA, I think, could make it as a replacement player. And I don't want to wish an injury upon any guard that's in the West, but that will likely be his best chances. Because I went through the All-Stars last year. Curry and Luka were the starting guards. Then you had three reserve guards in Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, and Chris Paul. Booker then was a replacement for Anthony Davis. And then Conley was a replacement for Booker, okay? But you're generally going to get five, maybe six guard positions on your roster. Let's call it probably more likely five.
Right.
So what does that mean for this season and SGA's chances? Curry, Luka, despite the Mavs, you know, being pretty mediocre, and Mitchell are locks. Like, those three are 100% going to be all-stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lee, you agree with that?
Yep.
Okay. The Suns' record being the best team in the NBA, well, they're getting one for sure, and then maybe two again.
Probably.
Right?
You would, like, they would have
one
to.
One for sure.
I would just hope that the
Booker.
The... Yeah, I would think it's Booker.
Yeah.
It should be Booker, although he's missed seven games. I would just hope that the coaches' vote don't cannibalize each other. It was just going to be a lot
yeah.
of vote, Booker cancel each other out, because there's going to be Booker votes. There's going to be CP votes.
Okay, well,
one
for sure is going to, I'm sorry, and then two, maybe.
Right.
Again, Chris Paul is still playing at an all-star level. His
yeah.
numbers do not wow you, but again, they're on the maybe the best team in the league. He's the closer.
Yeah.
He has that... Being a vet, coaches go, well, Chris Paul's still good. Put him back in.
Yeah, and they're more likely to get two guards, I think, than one of those guards plus DeAndre Ayton.
Like Ayton, yeah, yep. Probably. Okay, so, well, I've named five if both of them are in, but let's say there's one more spot even there. His competition, SGA's, right now would be Ja Morant, who has missed some time too, and the Grizzlies played awesome without him. I mean, I'm not going to hold that against him, but he's played 20 games, so mm-hmm. 66% of games right now, but there's a lot of time before the All-Star game. So Ja Morant... Westbrook, but I feel like that ship has sailed.
No
right?
way.
Right.
No
okay.
way
no
Westbrook's
way.
Getting
okay.
in this year.
Anthony Edwards, Lee, you brought his name up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he is like, it's just too soon. Like,
yeah.
He scores like 22 points per game, but
yeah.
now he's missing time. He won't be making it this year, though, like you
no.
said, in the coming years, yes. And then DeJounte Murray and the numbers he's putting up in the Spurs. And you know, OKC has a pretty similar record right now to San Antonio. I think they're like a game behind them in the win-loss column.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, is Ja Morant or SGA? I mean, DeJounte Murray, he's got his fans, and I love him too. He'll get some recognition there.
Oh, it's Ja, if it's between Ja and Shea.
Yes.
100%? Especially, yeah, where they are in the standings.
Shea
is now veering towards the bottom of the Western Conference standings. Very, very, very close.
Well, I say all that to say
yep.
that it's close, and it's going to take probably, unfortunately, an injury. He's got to be a replacement.
Well, at least he's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he's in the conversation.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And he is amazing, and the team is obviously a completely different team when he plays. And if it's not this year, maybe I can... get traded, give me like a one more year
yeah.
addendum to our bet.
Everything
an extension,
changed.
Like
yeah,
an extension
exactly.
on the contract. Yeah,
yeah. I don't even think Trey would, because he's smart. He's like, no,
yeah.
he's so close to it. He could make it next year, especially if OKC made a move and got somebody in.
I think as well, you know, you make good cases there for those other players. There's the one sort of player who's going to get the veteran love from the coaches, mm-hmm. despite the fact that he. Lately, he's been playing much better, but he got off to a terrible start. It's Lillard.
Lillard's, yeah, yeah.
He's definitely going to get the respect vote.
That's a good point.
Know,
I
feel like he's got the lifetime award. Like you,
for
just,
sure,
you just
for
can't
sure.
leave him out now.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Joe Johnson. Speaking about Joe Johnson, remember he got it, you know, for a couple of years there, and LaMarcus Aldridge has also had it as well.
Yeah, but there were some instances where it was like, I mean. The other names that Joe Johnson was maybe making it over were not amazing. Like these,
yeah,
I mean, I just
yeah.
took you through like three or four guys that are playing at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
Lillard could be there. I agree with you.
And if Lillard's had some injury problems as well this season, but if he played, you know, voting opens on
Christmas
Day. Now we know he's not going to get voted in, but if he was to play right up until the point where the coaches have to make their choices and he continues to play the way he has the last, you know, three or four games here. It's going to be hard to keep him off just because it's like, yeah, Lillard deserves it. It's been a rough season. Things haven't gone well there in Portland. So, you know, he's got a case. He's got a strong case, as always.
It's a tough spot. Tough spot to make an all-star appearance. But I do think you should get a year extension because I think there's been year extensions all over the place. This is a weird one I heard of. You see all those lists of these accomplished people under 30 or these accomplished people under 40.
Yeah.
Even those get extended. You could be 40 or 41 now because of these crazy last couple years. You get an extra year. It's like the last years didn't happen. Like you're still 39, or you're still 29.
You're saying I could make like a best of under 40 list, despite being 41?
100%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll 100%. Those are happening.
Let's talk offline about my SGA extension.
Because I was asked if I wanted to be nominated for best Greek Canadian American.
Oh,
this Greek thing. Anyways, it's just being Greek. It's just being
what a
Greek.
Humble brag. That's
well,
cool.
I mean, no, it's like asked to be nominated. So it's like anybody can be nominated. I was asked if I wanted to be nominated. And I'm 40, so I said, no, there's no, I can't even think about doing it. And he said, well, the guy I'm speaking with said, well, this, you know, the last couple of years don't count. Everybody who's 40 and over, so you get an extension. That's all I'm saying. Weird things are happening.
Can't
this
wait
is
to
a
see
weird
this
world.
List that you're on. Who else is going to be on this list?
Vasilis Spanoulis.
Classic.
Kevin Pangos.
Georgios Princes, what's his name?
Yorgos Printezis.
Yeah.
Just a Georgia, Greek list?
Yorgos, just Greek names.
Oh, okay.
You're Greek people in the world.
Okay. Yeah.
I said, who did I say there? Kevin Pangos, the Cavs guard, the Canadian Cavs guard. I don't think he's Greek. That sounds Greek.
Definitely sounds Greek.
He's not Greek, but he played overseas. Baller. He got some minutes last
year. Ira Neubel sounds Jewish. I don't think he is. Shout out to Matty O. All right, let's take our first break. Lee, don't go anywhere because I want to buy you some gifts from the Hamakashlema catalog.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
You weren't
can't
on yesterday's
wait.
Show. And JD actually has a gift to open, and I want to get your thoughts on the Hall of Fame list. So lots more still to come here on the No Dunks Drop. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back with No Dunks. Lili up in Toronto. Lee, before I select a few gifts for you from the Hamakashlema catalog. I wanted to get your take on the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame list of nominees or eligible candidates for the class of 22. We talked about it yesterday. Obviously didn't have you on the show. We were talking to TK. What are your thoughts on Ginobili and a bunch of these other names, including one of your favorites in Tom Chambers there? But what was your take?
Well, Tom Chambers should automatically be in the Hall of Fame for still doing being the only person to ever become a replacement player in the All-Star game to go on and win MVP. It's never been done other than when Tommy did it in 1987. So that alone, for me, qualifies him as a legit Hall of Famer. But unfortunately, outside of that, there's just not enough accolades. Tommy has got the 20,000-point plateau. Mm-hmm. He's in there. He was a four-time All-Star, I think two-time All-NBA. But unfortunately, I'm just not sure there's enough there for him to actually qualify on merit otherwise outside of that All-Star game performance. So it's funny to me, like a guy who hasn't played now for over 20 years, like he's finally just getting considered for it now. So yeah. I wonder what the delay was or why it hasn't happened before that. So I don't think Tommy makes it, unfortunately. But for me, Manu Ginobili should be an absolute lock. And again, the Basketball Hall of Fame is great because it takes in more than just what happened in the NBA. Of course, he won a gold medal there for Argentina, and he won a lot in Europe as well before he even came to the NBA. So I think he's got more than an impressive resume to get in and to qualify him. But also Manu Ginobili, if you look at his numbers and statistics and even his NBA accolades, like he was only a two-time All-Star, you know, those sorts of things for a lot of people, if you're not a sicko, think, well, he couldn't have been that good, but he was much, much better than the numbers show for him. I mean, the amount of times, you know, he sacrificed for the greater good there in San Antonio, came off the bench and ended games, or certainly had the ball in his hand late in games to make the right decisions for the Spurs, was just so impressive. I think he's one of the most courageous, the toughest players that we've ever seen. And he was just incredibly awesome. He was a clutch player, clutch shot maker, and had some huge moments. So, but I'm also like, Manu's probably easily in my top five of all time favorite players.
You're a little biased.
I have a bias there, but I also think he backs it up with his resume. So I think he gets in. I think he gets that love. And then, you know, I scrolled down and saw who else was in consideration there, and the two Pistons guys in the backcourt of Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups. And I don't think Rip Hamilton gets in. I think three-time All-Star, one championship, good player, but I just don't think he's done enough to get into the All-Star Hall of Fame there. I think Chauncey Billups has a stronger case. You know, he also had the Finals MVP, which certainly helps. I think it was a four-time All-Star. So I think one of those guys gets in, but I don't really think it's going to be Rip Hamilton. I just don't think he really quite did enough there. So, And then there's another guy who, there's two more that I just wanted to point out, and I'll start with Tim Hardaway, who was a five-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA. And he's another one I think deserves to be in there. And I think a big part of the reason he's not in there so far is because of some comments he made in the past that I think is being held against him. Now, he made some very bigoted remarks that were terrible at the time. He has since apologized, and he has since worked to improve his belief regarding those comments. And I think that, you know, that's a thing. You can learn from your mistakes in the past. I do think they are probably being held against him. So it'll be interesting to see if he can finally break in, because I think for a guy who was only 5'10", you know, he had an incredibly impactful role, especially on those Miami Heat teams. You know, he was a part of the Run TMC Warriors, of course. That only lasted 2 years. That's certainly something we look back at, you know, more nostalgically and think how much fun it was. They didn't necessarily have all that much success in terms of playoff success there. But I think Tim Hardaway qualifies based on merit. I think he's done enough. And then there's the big one, the Sean Marion. Sean Marion, you know, we've talked about him a ton, about whether or not he's an All-Star, whether or not, I keep saying All-Star, whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. And I think he gets in. Four-time All-Star, won the championship there with the Dallas Maverick, and was certainly, again, another player who was better than the statistics or the way that he played. Because you've got to think about this guy. You know, he had one of the ugliest shots we've ever seen in the NBA, but he was still able to average more than 20 points for a few seasons there. And that, to me, just shows how good he was at being in the right spot, catching alley-oops from Steve Nash, running the floor, getting tip-ins and putbacks, and just making scores and baskets out of nothing to not get any plays called for him. So I think Sean Marion gets in. Fantastic defender, great two-way player. But it'll be very interesting to see how the voting goes for him, because, I think he was more impactful than necessarily the numbers or even the eye test showed for casual fans.
So if you had a ballot, you're saying you're ticking Manu Ginobili, Tim Hardaway, Chauncey Billups, and Sean Marion. Those four you think are deserving Hall of Fames.
I believe so, yes. Of that list, I mean, definitely I would put Becky Hammon in there as well. I think she has a fantastic career and a fantastic resume, and also Swin Cash. So I'm not sure how many. Do they have a mount who get in each year, or is it just you got to get the
I don't think there's like a max or a minimum, no.
I think Swin and Becky Hammon also get in. And George Karl also, I mean, sixth all-time in NBA coaching wins. I mean, I think he's got a very, very strong case
as well.
What
about Joey Crawford?
How many games did he referee? Like, it must have been a couple of thousand, and had his moments, of course, but I think for what he gave to the game, he certainly deserves to be in there as well.
Okay, I think the most fascinating name that we haven't even said here from this entire list of eligible people to go in, Muggsy Bogues. And I think it's just fascinating because he's a 14-year vet. And, okay, if you look at his, like, accumulative numbers, I don't have them in front of me. They're not probably going to blow you away. You know, obviously, he wasn't, like, a 20-point-per-game score or anything like that. More of an assist guy and steal guy. But is he helped out by the fact of being 5'3", like, the shortest player to ever play in the NBA, and being a memorable player at that because he's 5'3", and, like, had success? Like, what do you think, Tass? Like, Should that give him a bump? Because we had a big like WhatsApp group chat going with all the guys talking about the names and stuff like that. And people were bringing up like, what about Muggsy? Like, again, it's not going to be numbers based as much as it's going to be like, we're never going to see this again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably fair.
It's fair. And that helps this case in that it's not just a snowball effect of guys who are in the future going to be 5'5 or smaller or somewhere right. close to Muggsy Bogues' height and just continuously getting in if they get to, you know, some mark. It's really about the effect that he had, the impact that he had of players who wanted to play that weren't 6'4". Really, it's the off-the-court impact. He's still sort of an ambassador of the game. Mm-hmm. He's still around the game.
But so never an all-star, never an all-NBA selection. You know, obviously not a champion. Again,
it's more like the in the builder's wing of the Hall of Fame almost.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, rather than the player part of it.
Right.
And when what he contributed to the game, yeah, being that inspirational figure.
What do you think, Lee? Like, no chance Muggsy ever gets into the Hall of Fame? Or do you believe
I wouldn't say no chance because, you know, very popular, well-loved. And also just the fact that a guy that height could have such a successful career is remarkable because, you know, basketball is the one sport where, you know, you're just considered to have an advantage if you're 6'6" because everyone is 6'6". And, you know, Muggsy out there 5'3", running around, you know, playing at that level for so long certainly is admirable and deserves respect. So whether or not that's enough to qualify you for the Hall of Fame, I'm not sure. We know that sometimes, you know, the requirements, basically just it's a subjective vote. It comes down to the voters and whether or not they just think that guy's deserving. So it'd be nice to see Muggsy get that honor, but I'm just not sure if he will. Maybe not this season. So it's hard to say, really, because, you know, those guys, if you're going for just because it was that sentimental reason, because mm-hmm. everyone loved him, then sure. But if you open it up for that for Muggsy, then you probably have to open it up for a lot of other guys too.
That's fair. All right, Lee. Well, yesterday you weren't here on the show, like I said, and I went through the Hamaka Schlemma catalog and picked out some gift ideas for you gentlemen. I thought I'd save your gifts for when you were here, Lee. So I got a couple things I want to get you. And we're going to show them to you, and then you're going to have to guess how much they cost. Because that's what you do at Christmas, right? Like you open up a gift, and then you go around the room. And
Lee loves gift
receipts. That's what we did at our house. It's really weird. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lee, don't eat the gift receipt, okay? Lee, are you still there?
Okay.
So, Lee, my first item that I want to give to you. You've been a good boy, Lee. It's the Italian countertop pizza oven. You're always talking about pizza. Now, I know you got your green egg, but let's be honest. I remember you texting my wife saying, what's going on with this pizza dough I've got here? I can't get the crust right on this green egg. So I think this might help you, Lee. It's available only from the Hamaka Schlemma. This is the countertop pizza oven designed by an Italian company that specializes in gourmet kitchenwares, and it's very powerful. It's got a 1,200-watt heating element, and it works in concert with a built-in 12.5-inch diameter baking stone, okay? So it gets up to 750 Fahrenheit inside this little bad boy. First off, what do you think? Would you like this?
I'd give it a shot for sure.
Okay.
In terms of my pizza dough, my making it's really improved. I mean, I certainly was communicating with your wife, Nora, there early on. But, you know, it's like anything. The more you do it, it's like just even with just simple things like your pancakes, the more you do it, you figure out what works for you and your family. And I was able to really improve the dough making as it went on. So what I do like, though, is the compactness there of that pizza oven. I think that is... you know, you could take that away if you went camping, you know? But you can't do that with a big green egg. But so did you just plug it in? Is that all you do? Or how do you fire it up to that?
Yeah, I believe so. It's AC plug. It says right here in the write-up.
Wow.
Yep. It's 9 pounds. That's all it weighs. You could take this camping.
Yeah.
So you can put this in a firewood tote easily.
I like the versatility of it there, that you can be like, all right, we're going camping this weekend and we're taking this oven. I don't know how you'd plug it in. I guess, there's always electric outlets at some of those campsites. So,
Maybe at a campsite. Yeah, okay.
Well,
Here's the important part of this. How much do you think this costs, Lee?
Oh, yeah. God, this is a real Price is Right, isn't it?
Where you're very
like,
tough.
It could be like $1,800 or it could be like $133. I'll go somewhere in the middle. I'll say $249.95.
Okay. JD, you want to have a crack at this?
Wait. I'm concerned about the size of this thing because these pictures are very deceiving. Look at the spout on the olive oil here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's massive. Does it say how big it is?
Well, it does say that it's 14 inches in diameter.
The whole thing.
And then it says basically nine inches in height. I assume that means when you open the...
Maybe not.
No.
14, okay. So that's a 14-inch pizza?
No way. No. That's like a nine-inch pizza.
No, well, it says built-in 12.5-inch diameter baking stone. So your pizza's going to be a little smaller than that.
Well, that's pretty big still. 10.
It's not bad. For pizza for one or two. Anyways.
Any pizza can be for one.
Yeah, oh God, don't start. Over. Please don't start.
Matt Austin and his personal pizza theory. Okay.
Anyway, all that to say, this would never fly in my house because, I have two teenagers who eat nonstop. But I think that this is priced around $299.99.
Okay.
That is my guess.
Okay, and Tass, what do you think?
I'm going to capitalize on JD's mistake. He said $299.99.
Oh,
I'm going to go $299.95.
Wow. Well,
proper Hamaka Shlemaka price there.
You guys are way too high.
Oh,
actually,
really?
Lee, when you were saying, I don't know if this thing's going to cost $1,800 or $133, you were very close when you said that. $139.95. For an Italian countertop pizza. It's not bad. All right. You guys are into it. Lee, I got you something you really want, though.
Okay.
Because all you like to do is shoot hoops.
Wow.
So let's just please the Aussie. Okay, here it is. The LED scoring indoor basketball hoop. Let me give you some details about this. This is the over-the-door basketball hoop with the built-in LEDs and a shatterproof backboard score display that tracks shots. Yes, the backboard can withstand vigorous slam dunks, while the 9.5-inch metal rim has a durable 8-loop net that provides an optimal target for long shots. I love when they just don't know what to write in these things, and they just like get so wordy. An infrared sensor detects shots and automatically registers points on the LED display with an accompanying sound, which you can turn off. Fits over most doors. It includes a ball and a hand pump, Lee. Does require 3 AAA batteries to keep a score there, but I thought you'd like that, Lee. You can shoot in the dark and...
Yeah. I can't believe just how software technology has infiltrated the indoor basketball hoop world, because when I was a kid, we used to have this plastic thing that you would hang over to the door, you'd have to close the door.
Yeah.
And just from 3 boys growing up in the house, we'd dunk on it and all that sort of stuff. And I remember Mum would just get like sticky tape and just sticky tape it back together whenever we got broken and cracked and stuff, because there was no mesh net either. It was just like the plastic and then less plastic, smaller plastic around the bottom of it. So, that copped a beating. That must have been like $5 back in the day. Now that looks like a super sourced up version of that. And I mean, it's almost like too much for just indoor basketball hoop. I mean, what did you say? The batteries?
AAA batteries.
AA batteries.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
8 rings on the hoop.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's, someone comes around to your house, and, like your kids come around to play and they got that. They're like, oh, you're a bit fancy, aren't you, boys?
It takes 3 AA batteries. Is it AA or AAA?
AAA.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it allows for dunking, that it would, have the sort of snap back ability.
Vigorous
there,
dunking.
Like, yeah, vigorous dunking, right.
No,
yeah,
this thing will break literally in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But what do you think it costs, Lee?
Probably $49.95, I'm guessing.
Okay. $49.95.
JD? Yeah, put me down for $75.
$75.
Okay.
And
Tass? Yeah, I'm going to go $79.95.
Did you see this page?
No.
Tass nailed it. $79.95. Wow. The LED scoring indoor basketball hoop. All right, Lee, so you're getting some pizza and some hoops. That's like your dream.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, I would love those gifts for sure. I definitely would put them up, encourage the boys to play while I go and tinker with the old oven there and see if I can, you know, see if I can improve my pizza making skills on that little thing. But I like it. I definitely would use both of those items.
Okay. I wonder if you can make crepes on that thing, Lee. You're a crepe man.
Sure. Wow.
That looks like a bit of a crepe maker.
Might be a mess. Crepes. I don't know.
Yeah, when they get that utensil where they spin it around and, you know, it's really, really thin. You just have to have one of those for crepes. So,
That's extra for sure.
I'll keep looking through the magazine to see if I can find you a crepe maker. Which probably is a thing you can buy from the Hallmark or Slema. You can actually keep the music going if you want, JD, because I want to get to you, back to you. Ooh. I know we did the gift, but we actually have a real item for you to open here.
Great.
In the studio.
Exciting.
Before you do, a little backstory, okay, to set the scene. On a November 5th drop podcast, one of the rapid-fire questions that we had, I think I was asking it, was for you guys to paint the picture of what your very own City Edition jersey would look like. You remember that?
Right, yeah.
And you guys all had great answers. JD's was amazing, though, because JD went the extra step. And you showed us your own creation, JD.
I did,
and I'm showing it to everybody here on the stream team. You went full-on beaver.
Yep.
And you went with the YYZ because you said you were a fan of
the
ATL,
airport
airport code.
Yeah.
And you got you added a lightning bolt for some reason there.
Because lightning bolts are really, really hot right now in the City Edition jersey.
Oh, right.
There's at least three with lightning bolts.
Right, right. Okay. And then you went with the Salad King as your sponsor.
Yeah,
and you got the baby blue. You like that. You had some plaid on the sides even there because you were like that from the Rip City jerseys.
That's right.
So, anyway, I bring all of this back up to have you open that gift here.
Okay.
Right now, on the air, as he reaches down and grabs it.
Reaching down, let me switch to my camera.
I was
going to
say,
so
don't sit on
see
us.
It.
Okay, here we go.
This came priority mail a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Oh.
And I thought it was for you, Skeets, because it has your name on it.
Yeah, well, see, I've been, anyway.
USPS, baby.
This is, I'll let you open it first, and then I'll tell you what, obviously.
Okay, it says Nike Air. Air
Nike.
Force One.
You don't say Nike?
Nike. Yeah. Nike Air. No. Sorry.
That's fine.
All right, cool. And I'm opening
open it up.
There's a card. Should I read the card?
You can if you want.
Well, I'll read it after.
Just skip to the gift.
Whoa! Okay, these are cool.
Okay.
This is cool.
Okay.
This is really cool.
So, show them off to the camera here. Inspired by JD's very own City Edition jerseys. K. David is the artist that created this. You can follow Shoe Furry. Excuse me, Fury, not Furry. I was thinking of the beaver. Shoe Fury.
Wow. That is amazing.
He does some hand-painted footwear here. Yeah. And pretty incredible. It's got the plaid. It's got the beaver.
Yeah.
Obviously got the color. Got the lightning. Now he
nailed it.
He said, the baby blue is infused with metallic silver that will glitter in the right light.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And your beaver was much angrier looking, so he went with a more like cartoony,
okay, fair enough,
sort of mascot-y vibe, and I
think
that was the right call.
Yeah, he is smiling while shooting deadly lightning bolts out of his. These are awesome. What size are these?
They're your size.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do I wear them though? It seems.
You've got to wear them, man.
When he was showing them to me, I was like, I think JD will wear these. Like, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot
going on. I was like, I think JD might wear them though.
I think you got your airplane shoes, JD.
I might wear. I might have to wear these on the plane tomorrow.
Ah, please do.
It's like they'll ask for my passport, and I'll just say, "Look down, sir."
People loving them.
They loving them in the stream team?
Absolutely loving them. That's a lot of flames.
Shout out to, again, K. David.
Thank you,
Shoe
K. David. Thank you.
Fury Custom.
That is amazing.
On Instagram.
I love it.
Yeah. I thought you'd like that. We've been sitting on those for a while.
But
I'm happy you're happy. I did nothing except tell him your shoe size and where to send them, by the way. That was all by the artist.
Those are nice.
David. Yeah.
That's the best Christmas ever so far, and it's not even Christmas.
Air Force Ones, baby.
All right. Well, we got lots more still to get to here on the Drop Podcast because we've got a very important pick'em that we have to select. You and I are tied.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Tweet of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Rapid Fire Fun, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Back with No Dunks, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, if you've watched any basketball games recently, you won't recognize the players on the floor. You absolutely will not. And it was taken to a whole other level for the game in Atlanta last night. Orlando visiting the Hawks. I was mostly on the Magic side. Mm-hmm. But I'm giving myself Tweet of the Night because basically I just tweeted the names of the players who were playing, mostly for the Magic. Listen to these names. These aren't a fake at all. They're not part of Trey Kirby's fake names list, although I hope Trey's listening because he can add them to the list. Mm-hmm. These players were playing in the NBA on December 22nd, 2021. Hassani Gravit. Admiral Schofield.
Okay, I actually remember him. He played for the Wizards. Didn't he for a second? I think. Okay, anyway.
That's sicko mode, yeah. Right there. I don't know. He played Summer League, that's for sure. I know that.
Okay.
Lance Stephenson. We know that name.
Yeah.
That was the one name playing for the Hawks. These other three names also played for the Magic. BJ Johnson, Aleem Ford, and Tim Frazier. A classic name.
Admiral. Who we've actually met before.
Yes, great man. So he's back. So there's six names. Hassani Gravit, Admiral Schofield, BJ Johnson, Aleem Ford. The four that I literally had never heard of. And then so when I went to the box score, Aleem Ford got the NBA logo treatment for his headshot. Pretty impressive. They had all the other guys' headshots, to be honest. But what was wild was in the arena, because you were there, Skeets, you took a photo of the scoreboard.
Wow.
Schofield, BJ Johnson, Freddie Gillespie, Aleem Ford, and Tim Frazier, they're faceless basketball players, because if you're watching with us right here, no headshot, no nothing, just a gray silhouette for five different basketball players. Amazing. And they won the basketball game.
BJ Johnson was on fire.
Six guys who weren't in the NBA last week playing for the Magic signed and beat an NBA team.
Lee, it was a wild time down at the Fortress last night. But it was actually sort of fun. We got there super early. I went with my buddy Grish and his family, and we got there like, you know, 25 minutes before the game, so everybody's warming up. And it was the ultimate, like, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
we were like, who is that guy? And then, like, they're asking me because I do an NBA. But I was like, I don't know. I have no idea who that guy is. And so we were trying to figure it out. And then the game started and a lot of them were playing and playing all right. Like BJ Johnson was hitting big shots. He had like a couple big threes that kept stopping the Hawks run. But it was wild. People were also very confused why I was taking a photo of that scoreboard. But I was like, I bet this has never happened here in State Farm. Mm-hmm. Down at the Fortress, where all five are silhouettes. I mean, they had something wrong on their own team there. Did you notice?
No, I didn't notice.
It said Cooper, but it was DeLon Wright's photo. So they had
that happens.
That happens from time to time. But yeah, bunch of silhouettes, Lee. It was crazy.
Yeah. Tim Frazier, I recall him because I'm pretty sure he got a triple double. Like one of those.
He played for the Pelicans.
He played some ball for the Pelicans.
And it was off the bench or something like that as well. It was one of those like, oh, you know, maybe at the end of the season, you think, okay, next season, I've got to get that guy in fantasy basketball. You know, if he's putting out triple doubles, right. This guy may be legit. But
he was the accountant, hilarious. Right? Wasn't his nickname the accountant
for
really?
A little while?
I'm not sure, but
it feels like it.
I can find it.
Great, it's an account name, Tim Frazier.
These last couple of nights I've been watching games, and I am just like, oh my god, I honestly have never even heard of that guy, and he's out here with like 16 points. You're like, good on him. You know, maybe he can stick around in the NBA. But
some of these guys are making, you know, in their 10-day deals, what they made all season long in the G League. Some of them.
Yeah.
But that's sort of, I mean, that's great. Like you said, that's the one positive of all of this, of all these unfortunate, you know, guys leaving the lineups, the, you know, star players or whatever, even role players leaving the lineups because of health and safety protocols with COVID, is that, a bunch of people are getting paid.
Yeah, and coming back in the league like Lance Stephenson. How was Lance for the Atlanta Hawks?
Lance was not making them dance last night. No.
Somebody's got to be
rough.
Making a doc about this, right? Like, hopefully there's somebody out there. I mean, it should be us, really, but we're busy over here. Yeah. But that's going to be the next sports, or there's going to be like a sports movie about it in a couple of years, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, the movie would have to be one of these, like, nobodies going for 50 in a game, like just catching fire or doing the whole Jeremy Lin thing where, like, it's suddenly Linsanity 2.0 and... You know, that would be a story for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. Anyway, it ended up being a fun game. You never know. Like, it got somewhat competitive. Magic, of course, won all these guys that nobody knew who they were. The Hawks, by the way, were missing a bunch of guys, too. Like, their roster was not... There was guys on their team that I was like, who's... Like, do you know Mays?
Skylar Mays?
That's right,
I didn't include them in my tweet of the night because I knew the guys. I knew the first-round draft picks that they were finally playing who had played with the College Park Skyhawks.
You didn't know Admiral Schofield? He played 33 games.
I did not know Admiral Schofield. The man's name is Admiral Schofield. No, sir.
Oh, goodness.
I remember it just because of his name, but I couldn't tell you a single thing from his career that actually happened. But,
the only Schofield I know is Dick Schofield.
How do I know that?
Oh, I used to turn the DP.
It's like, I know that name.
Middle infielder. Played with the Angels,
What's
played
the
with
rule?
The Blue
like,
Jays.
If your last name's Schofield, you have to have an awesome first name? Dick and Admiral.
I love it. It's unfortunate that he turned the DP and his name was Dick, but that's just the... What?
Pick'em results. No, there are no pick'em results, actually. Excuse me, because we were going to do a game and then it got postponed.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls-Raptors
Absolutely.
Game. So, let's just set the scene here for everybody. In the month of December, you don't want to be last because you have to pay it off. I owe like three of them. It could be a fourth because I'm in the running here to lose this one too. But you and I are tied with a 6-9 record.
Nice. I feel bad about that joke I just made, so I didn't want to.
Trace 12-3. So this is big. Now we, like I said, we have a couple shows next week. It will still be December, so we'll be picking games still. So there's some wiggle room
here.
So
3 nights
remaining. But I would say this is a very important game between you and I. So what is our game?
And the schedule is absolutely stacked tonight. There's a ton of games on.
Okay.
Yes, here before Christmas Eve. I believe 11 of the 12 games still happening. Only one game postponed as of right now, as we're talking right now. And a big one, the Spurs visiting the Los Angeles Lakers. The spread only 1.5 for the Lakers. That's how poorly the Lakers have been playing. You'd think that they'd be a bigger home favorite. But you believe that they bounce back after their last loss against the Phoenix Suns?
Believe is a strong word.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was literally going to go for whatever you picked. I'm taking the opposite.
Yeah.
I think maybe the Lakers are looking forward to Christmas Day. They're still playing on Christmas Day.
They are, right now.
Maybe this will be a trap game against the Spurs. So Lee and myself are taking the Spurs. You and Trey are taking the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, I like
Lakers.
That Trey's taking the Lakers.
He's
this
hot.
Guy's on fire. Okay.
Why do you think the Spurs, you're the Spurs, man, Lee, why do you think the Spurs are taking care of business today?
Honestly, when it's a point and a half line, it's a bit of a coin flip. The Spurs have just been playing really good basketball, or, you know, much better basketball over these last few weeks. And the Lakers, it really is a hit and miss as to what team you're going to get from them to show up. But as long as LeBron's healthy, the Lakers, you know, they're always a chance, of course. But just like the way the Spurs have quietly been going about their business.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's wrap up this drop podcast. Let's wrap up this week. Let's send JD on vacation in his new shoes with a little rapid fire fun. Lili, you've got the cues this week.
Yes, I do. And with so many players becoming unavailable due to health and safety protocols, the Boston Celtics, as you mentioned there, Skeets, he signed the Armadillo Cowboy. Yes, I saw Joe back on a 10-day. The 40-year-old last played in 2018. So what's something that you think it is time to bring back, Skeets?
Well, I have two answers. The first obvious answer, Elf. Elf's got to come back. I'm telling you. How is it not back? I honestly think it's a fair question. We bring back every show and movie ever made. When's Elf getting the reboot? Okay? Also, this is a really weird one. I started thinking recently about the video game Cool Spot for the Sega Genesis.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know
that
game.
They made a video game out of the mascot for 7-Up.
Oh, wow.
And I rented this game as a kid, and I remember beating it. And I was like, oh, okay, I just beat Cool Spot. You would think it would be a garbage game, but it actually was not that bad. A little platform game. So, I don't know. Bring back Cool Spot. Bring back the Sega Genesis. So, those are my weird answers.
Okay. JD.
Yeah, I was totally unprepared for this this question, so I texted my brother with all of the questions, and he said key parties, so it's not my answer. My brother would like to bring back key party. The key party is where you go to a party, and you know, you put your keys, your car keys, in a bowl, and then you pick out car keys, and you go home with, you know, the other person's partner, and he would like to bring that back.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Wow.
So thank you, Ryan, for that answer, and I apologize for not having my own answer for that. But
I thought they got to take home the other person's car, but
yeah, that's what
more than that.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Never heard of such a thing.
You've never heard
never
of that?
Never heard of Keeper?
Yeah, I guess I have, but I had forgotten about them.
Being coy.
I'm
this
a coy
guy hosts
man.
Them.
All right, Tassie, what do you want to? What do you think it is time to bring back?
Well, I want to bring back, after all this Croc talk recently, LeBron wearing these special limited edition Crocs, get out of here. What you need to bring back are these and one slippers,
oh
these
my
babies.
God.
Now,
wow.
they have seen better days. The yellow here, don't mind the yellow. Just look at the beautiful woven fabric here as I show them here on YouTube. These were Crocs before Crocs. I mean, these are legendary. They were actually retail price $150 Canadian back in the day. I waited till they went on sale. But these are called N1 Select slippers. So N1, you know, they're slides, before slides type thing. Go to your basketball game, wear these, and then ball out. Yeah, they're ugly right now. But the blue woven one, when they're brand new, bring them back. Just as comfortable as Crocs and like 10% less ugly, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely less ugly than the Crocs.
Thank
for
you.
Sure, yeah. Okay, I never have ever thought Crocs would look cool
they don't.
Under any circumstances.
They don't. They're already in that state. They've been around, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever it is. And they're already in that like ugly era mode, like, oh, they're cool now because they're ugly. They've always been ugly.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
What a run Crocs have had.
It's ridiculous.
Like, it's crazy.
Yes.
The Classic Factory officially opened this week. Although it was only Skeets and Tass and JD there in attendance, the space is looking sexy, guys, but could still use a piece or two of memorabilia. So what classic TBJ /starters/free agents/no-dunks item do you think still needs to be added, Skeets?
Oh, the obvious answer is the starters flag that we have that we got signed by all of the players that came on our show. But the issue with that, the thing is gigantic.
Yes.
So, I mean, we'd have to drape it somewhere. It's too big.
And it's not that attractive.
Yeah, you're right. It's just, it's cool that it's signed by a bunch of Hall of Famers.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the size of it is the issue. So I'm going something much smaller. Really, in fact, something digital. I think what we need to get, and it's from Infinite Objects. You guys know I'm in the Top Shot game with my guy, TK, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've talked about the wedgie moment before. It's on the platform. Anthony Simons. Chase down block and it sticks as a wedgie.
Right.
Well, what you can do with your NFTs and especially your Top Shot moments is you can get this basically digital print, if you want to call it that, or this like ever looping display of the moment. So I think we need to have that here on set.
Mm-hmm.
Of the wedgie moment. And it's just like either hung up on the wall, maybe it's on the desk, maybe we'll get a bookshelf in here, and it's just forever, forever
dropping
a wedgie. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah. It's like when you have family photos and you put them in those digital displays. It's the same thing, but it's a basketball play.
So there we go. We're going to get an Anthony Simons wedgie moment just on constant repeat.
We used to have screw down cases for cards.
Yeah.
Like physical sports cards, but now you got a digi.
Cool. It's the future, man.
It is, man.
Yep.
JD, what needs to be added to the set there?
I need an assistant.
Yeah.
I need you in this set, actually. But we did a back in 2015, we did a bit. It's one of my favorite bits that we did as the starters, and it was remember somebody threw a pickle onto the floor of a game, and it was just like the game had to stop, and it was really one of those weird NBA moments. And of course, we glommed onto it, and we staged a protest where our sound man Danny Boy dressed him in a pickle costume, and he invaded our set. And I have a little clip for it, so here it is. Okay. Stand by, here it comes.
That you'd write your Christmas card in. Yeah, it's just a really, really nice font.
Some of them are better than regular jerseys.
I agree with that.
Like the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Cavs,
free
they can maybe
pickle!
Switch.
Free the pickle! Free the pickle!
What's going on?
Free the pickle! Free the pickle! Free the pickle! Free the pickle!
Sorry,
what's the deal now, pickle?
Sorry about the pickle delay. Let's just take a break.
Free the pickle.
We'll get this cleaned up.
I want that pickle costume. I don't know.
Danny in it? 24/7.
If Danny was standing next to me here, this would make this whole thing so much easier. But I don't know what happened to that pickle costume, and it was just like I remember coming up with the idea: we're gonna have somebody in a pickle outfit. We just gave it to Scenic, and this was. Sometimes they came back with, we weren't sure, like tiny little, NBA teams in balloons. But that time they nailed it. It was just out of foam core, a printed pickle with a head cut out. And it was goddamn perfect. And I wish we still had the costume. And maybe not Danny, but put his face in it, and then just sort of put it up. But I don't know. I feel like we lost it.
I think it might.
I don't remember seeing it ever.
I thought it was in the cage.
It was in the cage, but I think, you know what? Danny might have went down and grabbed it. You know what I mean?
Like, he's a pickle plucker.
Because he knew we were leaving, and he was like, well, this is, you know, this is my legacy here.
We'll get Kaplan on the case.
Yeah.
Kaplan hit me up yesterday.
I would be looking at you as the number one suspect in a pickle fever. You love pickles.
Damn right.
I've given you...
I'd love to.
How many pickles have I given you over...
over the years,
over
yeah.
Over the years.
Say so you get a sandwich.
Yep.
Discard the pickle.
I know Tass is always going to
have it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll be the George Costanza and go in there. How many pickles have I pecked? For sure.
I had mini pickles here for lunch yesterday, Tassie. It must be a big Canadian thing. They came out, you know, like we had
it's
all
definitely
the
not
of,
a Canadian
thing. No, it felt like it because I was like, I'm back in Canada. I'm getting pickles for lunch. That was great.
How did they come out? It sounded like they were coming out there marching together, the little pickles.
No, we had like a big sort of whole table set up there with all sorts of different foods, and there was just a little bowl there with pickles in them. I'm like, all right, let's get into the pickles. I had about probably four, only little ones. I think they're a bit more friendlier to consume than just one big lump of a pickle, you know, because you can sort of snack on the little ones.
Listen to this guy talk about pickles. You just use the weirdest adjectives sometimes in telling a story.
No, because a big pickle is more intimidating.
A lump of a pickle.
If I bite this pickle, I've got to get through the whole thing. Whereas a little one's like, you can like, all right, if I bite it, and it's not that good, you can just finish it off rather than, you know, well, you can discard it, of course, but it's better if you just have one, say, I've tried it, I've had one.
Wade, you love pickles so much. If he were to take a big bite out of a lump of a pickle and then not want the rest of it, would you eat it?
I'd be happy to share a lump with Lee Ellis, no doubt.
Lady and the Tramp style, we can do it like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the next pick and payoff if we have a tie. Two men have to eat a pickle.
That could be a nice pickle payoff there. You just have to eat pickles for the whole show. There you go.
Pickle payoff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Baby cornichons. No, make it a big lump.
I like
please.
Relish pickles, those sweet relish pickles. Those are good.
I love all pickles. What about those ones at Ted's, those sliced ones? They come in a bowl of pickles.
Yeah. Ted's? They're, the one you're talking about.
Those are good.
It's right up the road from your house, Lee.
Yeah, well, not anymore. It went out of business. So,
really?
Last one up there. Yeah. Yeah.
It ran out of pickles. Supply chain.
Yeah. They're selling Christmas trees up there these days. Where are we here? Where are we?
All right, Tass has to answer it.
Yeah. What pickle item needs to be added to the
Absolutely.
Studio there?
Well, it's funny JD picked the pickle man because I also am not picking an object. I am picking a man. I'm picking a person who I'd like to add to the set. And it is the talented Sir Foster, the man who plays the organ down at the Hawks Arena. We had him for one show in the Starter Studio a long, long time ago. It was actually for a pick'em payoff where as soon as Skeets was talking, I believe, he would start playing music. Yeah, and you had,
that sounds familiar.
And as you spoke, every single time you spoke, Sir Foster would play another hit. Yeah. And so, yes, I would just like Sir Foster, the talented musician. Get down there. He plays the horn. He plays the saxophone. He does the keyboards as well. I mean, it just feels right. If he was here, it would feel right in this garage space for him to be on the keys playing some hits. So Sir Foster's my pick.
The Magic Hawks game, the rosters were so depleted. Not even Sir Foster was on the keys last night.
Wow.
That was a replacement guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because our seats were like right by where he plays in the lower bowl there, and yeah, it wasn't even him. I was all excited to say hello and
getting everybody.
Yeah, I know. Don't quote me on that. I don't know if he's in health and safety protocols as well.
Just
but
wasn't there
was no Sir Foster last night, down unfortunately. Mm. Yeah. All right, Lee, final one.
Yeah, let's wrap this up because I've got a reverse Sir Foster need right now.
What is that?
The NBA has told teams to be prepared.
Okay, hold on. I thought it meant you had to take a dump, but you just have to take just piss.
Yeah, a post show Sir Foster. Okay. The NBA has told teams
because that makes more sense.
Because anybody knows what that means other than us.
Sorry, go ahead.
The NBA has told teams to be prepared to be flexible with their Christmas Day game.
Yep.
So what is your Christmas Day plan? And how locked in is it, Skeets?
I would say it's pretty locked in. It's very simple. French toast for breakfast. Nora has locked that in. We'll do some gift giving, mainly just to give some funny little gifts to Luna, see how she reacts to them. And then the one other requirement is we have to play the entire Boney M. Christmas album.
Yeah.
Front to back. That has to happen.
Sure.
And then very likely hanging out with some friends here in the city. We're obviously not traveling anywhere. So maybe even you.
Oh, wow.
Maybe even Tass Mellis.
Fantastic.
Pickles will be had.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, so very simple. And that's not an exciting answer. I'll probably go for, we'll probably go for a walk, maybe even a run, because the weather's looking real nice. It's not going to be minus 30 here, Lily. It's going to be like plus 22, they're saying.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful.
JD.
Yeah, I'm heading to Canada. Haven't had a day off in months, really. So I'm going to be sleeping, eating, and I've been told I'm my job for the day. I'm going to be at my brother's, and it's going to be waste management consultant. So I think I'm in charge of the trash, which is perfect. The perfect job for me to do on Christmas Day because it's simple. I don't have to talk to anybody. I just gather things up. Properly separate all of the recyclables and the greens and the browns and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually may watch a basketball game.
Wow.
Just, you know, for a nap time, you know, on the couch, hang out. But, yeah, that's pretty much locked in, if I can get across the border, that is.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
I don't have to talk anyone. The true spirit of Christmas joy right there.
Also, your brother has told you in advance that you will be cleaning up the garbage and recycling it.
Well, yes. I, as I said, I sent him all the questions, so he said, yeah, you're in charge of garbage.
Well, keep your eye on the car keys while you're doing the garbage out back there, JD, by the way.
I hope you're not going to a keys party with your brother.
Oh, yeah, that would be very weird. Yeah. That would be strange.
Okay. Tassi, bring us home.
Well, I guess I'll be the WMC at my house as well, as the waste management consultant. I'll be doing that. But I think my one job will be to wear the sweater. I mean, that's my plan. I'm just wearing the sweater, and then this Christmas sweater I'm wearing, I love the feel of it, and then I'm just going with the flow. Yeah, presents, outdoorsy, put the phone away, and then just feeling it out. It's not a whole lot of planning, so I don't really have a good answer for this. I'm looking forward to a non-plan, really.
You're getting some use out of that sweater, though. You're already in an Instagram photo wearing it, were you not?
Yep, second time I've worn it.
Second time?
Got to wash in between because it was by the fire.
Oh.
My nose is getting a little more sensitive to fires these days.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't like the smell of a campfire as much anymore.
Like the smell of the smoke on you afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither.
It's bugging me.
Oh, and it gets in the beard. It gets in everything.
Oh, yeah.
It
gets in your hair. And
then you shower, you shampoo.
Yeah.
And it's still on you.
It's true.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Go away.
Some people love it, though.
Don't.
Yeah, I used to. I used to love the smell of gasoline.
Still love that.
Do you?
Do you?
Yeah, of course.
That's weird.
Going into the car, not coming out of it. You know what I mean? Like, not burning gas, but yeah, I love to give my finger a little sniff after I pump the gas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I used to like that. I used to like that, for sure.
I had never thought about this, JD, but you just reminded me with the whole campfire thing. We had Luna over at Grisham's. My buddy Grish. Our buddy Grish.
Everyone's
buddy. Your buddy Grish, at this point. He had the fire going during the day, like, you know, it was like 3, 4, 5 o'clock. And my dog, Luna's there. Didn't even think anything of it. And this guy, Grisham, like, that guy's a pyro, so it's like burning everything and smoke everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we get home, it's like, oh, we stink, Nora and I stink of the campfire. And then the dog stinks.
Yeah. She's got long hair, too.
Yeah. So.
How many shampoos was that?
Still doing it.
Still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to get out.
Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, great questions there, Lee, in Rapid Fire. That is the Drop Podcast, our final show of the week. Final show from the Classic Factory for a little bit, too. We will be back on Monday with a new No Dunks podcast. And then on Thursday, we only two shows next week. But JD's gone, so Andrew Schlecht is going to be filling in for JD.
Yep.
But we won't be here. We'll be back on the StreamYards, back on the Zooms, just looking at our cameras, not, you know, engaging one-on-one. But in the new year, JD's back, Lee's back, TK's back, and the plan is to all be here in the new Classic Factory, which, JD, a lot of people are digging.
Great.
The look, the sound, the vibe.
Awesome.
So that's good. And we're still working on it. Some, you know, we got a new desk coming and all that, but
yeah.
I can't wait for 2022.
January 3rd. As long as JD gets back,
we'll be back as well.
Okay. I'll be back.
Good. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at No Dunks Inc. That's INC. We'll be tweeting, I'm sure, throughout the holidays. Grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Nice deal on right now. 50% off. You can get that for somebody else. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. And again, we will be back on Monday. I know you and I are going to be on. Who else? Is TK joining us? Lee, are you joining us on Monday? I can't keep track anymore.
Not Monday, okay. No. I think I'll be taking the week off in Calgary. But we'll see.
Wow.
We'll see. Unless there's some breaking news, you know? Unless there's a big trade, big scoop, something happening.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. I like that you're ready for the... Can't jump on the normal shows, but hey, it's something...
If it's worth my while, I might deign you with my presence.
But actually, just before we go, Tassi, I'm going to be at the Saddle Dome. Well, I'm supposed to be at the Saddle Dome on Monday night. Big Flames Oilers tilt.
Wow.
I thought the hockey games were
I thought they were canceled until until
postponed
Christmas.
Until,
postponed.
I think, Christmas Day. This one's scheduled for the 27th. So,
wow.
Maybe the Flames and Oilers. Wow, Connor McDavid, man. He's hot right now.
Stop saying that.
What's worse, your Canadian accent or my Australian accent?
That'd be a good pick and payoff. You have to speak in each other's accents.
Wow.
Be great for us, terrible for the audience.
Yeah,
though.
Brutal.
Lee, you are going... Go ahead, Lee.
Who's the netminder these days for the Flames?
I forget.
Mike Vernon.
No, Mika Kiprasov. No, I forget who's man in the nets.
Andy Moog in net for the Oilers.
I just hope he stands on his head, whoever he is, you know. And we got a classic, like, 43 save effort from the guy. Hey, you should have seen.
Are you bad mouthing the game of hockey right now?
No.
Where are you going?
That's what happens. Isn't it? Have 43 saves. It's like he stood on his head. The guy, you know.
Yeah, 42. He didn't stand on his head. Listen, you are going to an incredible rivalry. You are watching the Oilers and the Flames. You're going to be writing an article on The Athletic, just like you did when you went and watched the soccer.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's gonna write it all with it, and then he'll find out he's doing an interview.
I saw the Canadiens goaltender the other day. You should have seen the save he made. Like, he did the old backhander like that, like the puck missed him, and he whacked it with his hand and saved it. Oh, man.
It's a great game.
Great goal. So, listen, I just
Patrick
hope Patrick
Waugh, is that who it was?
Ginler, Gretzky, maybe those guys will be there and for this big one at the Saddle Dome.
Yeah. You could have gone, you should go to the Hockey Hall of Fame there in Toronto. Ginla was just inducted.
Ah, is that right?
Yeah, he deserves it too. Great man.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a way to wrap up a drop podcast. All right, Lee, will you take the week off unless Ben Simmons gets traded? Enjoy the hockey game. If it happens,
I'll say the deal for the Athletic, it starts on Christmas Day. If you're looking right now, it'll happen. If you look on the 25th, 26th,
okay,
50% off. Yeah,
okay, there you go, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here. Shout out to all the stream teamers. Shout out to the Pod Squad, the Discord Horde. We love all of you. Stay safe during the holiday season. And again, we'll be back on Monday, the 27th, with a fun little podcast for you all. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you enjoy the holidays as much as No Dunks enjoys our lumps of pickles.
Embrace the holidays, people.